Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call the Planning Commission meeting to order. Welcome, everybody, to the May 28th Huntington Beach Planning Commission meeting. While the Planning Commission welcomes public involvement and free speech, it rejects comments from anyone that are discriminatory, defamatory, or otherwise not protected speech. Those comments will not inform nor be considered by the Planning Commission and may be cause for the chair to interrupt the speaker. Such comments will not be consented to or otherwise adopted by the Planning Commission in its discussions and findings for any matter tonight. Thank you. Could you all please rise? Commissioner Adams is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. May we have the roll call?
Commissioner Adam?
Here.
Commissioner Pellman?
Here.
Vice Chair Kennedy?
Here.
Chair Twining?
Here.
Commissioner Wood?
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez is absent, and Commissioner Acosta Galvan?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Now is the time for public comments for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Do we have any public comments tonight?
We have one speaker signed up for public comments, Anthony Acevedo. Please come down to the microphones.
My name is Anthony Acevedo. I'm a retired aerospace engineer. My family and I have lived in Westminster, Huntington Beach area for over 48 years. Own two homes in Huntington Beach, as well as our principal home in Westminster. But my concern is relating to a plan that's been stagnant. I've been monitoring the updates. It has to do with Huntington Gateway Business Park Phase 3, which is off of Rancho and Bolsa Chica Road. It used to be owned by the Boeing Company, McDonnell Douglas. And there hasn't been any movement. It's an eyesore. That's the minor component to my concern. The other concern is the graffiti. And as of late, it's been the home for coyotes. And we've noticed an uptick on coyote activity as a result of this area. So I reached out to Mr. Hayden Beckman, I believe it is. And I've not received any response. So those are my commentaries and my concern, because I'm representing my community, and they agree that, you know, what's going on there? Everything else, Amazon has built their facility, and the fiveplex, which I call a fiveplex because I worked there for the Skylab and Delta project. We've seen it develop immediately, but this particular area, this quadrant, is stagnant. There's nothing going on there, and that's my concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no other speakers.
Okay. Next are the public hearing items. We have zoning map amendment number 24003, which is about mapping consistency cleanup project utility sites. Planning commissioners, please state your disclosures regarding this item. We'll start with Commissioner Adams.
Thank you. I don't have any disclosures.
I met with the planning department to go over tonight's agenda. That's all. Thank you.
No disclosures.
I also met with the planning department to go over tonight's agenda. I've also spoken to a couple citizens that have called or emailed me about this zoning amendment cleanup. That's it.
I have no disclosures.
No disclosures.
Staff, may we have the presentation, please?
Yes, Madeline Welch will give the presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members of the Planning Commission. Tonight's item is a zoning map amendment to certain sites that are developed as utilities. So to begin, staff has identified 42 parcels which have zoning designations that are inconsistent with the general plan. So with that, tonight's request is to amend the current zoning designation of such parcels and to bring them into conformance with their current general plan designations. To provide some background, the general plan is a comprehensive blueprint that provides the framework and for the utilization and management of the city's physical and economic resources, and it guides decisions regarding land use in the city through the year 2040. State law requires that every city adopt a general plan and requires that the zoning ordinance be consistent with it. The zoning map and the ordinance are both tools that are used to implement the general plan land use element. This amendment is prompted as a housekeeping item to clean up the zoning map, to bring those parcels into conformance with the current general plan designations, and to eliminate any nonconformities. The amended zoning of the parcels in tonight's request would be amended to the public semi-public zone, which is the corresponding zone to the public general plan designation. The amended designations will correspond to the pattern of the existing uses on site. 7,388 notices were sent out to properties within 500 feet of each subject site. Notices were sent via certified mail to the property owners of each subject site, and staff did not receive any requests to opt out. So here is an existing zoning map outlining the existing zoning designation for the parcels included in tonight's amendment. And this is the amended zoning map. I also want to note that we do have copies of each of the maps in the chambers here tonight. So beginning with example number one, this is for the Edison sites, also consisting of nurseries between Heil and Warner. So there are three parcels included in this example, and the existing zoning designation is low density residential. So on the left, you can see the existing zoning map demonstrating RL, and the general plan designation that's existing is public, which is the intended zone for sites that are developed as utilities. So this amendment would change the zoning designation from RL to public semi-public, which is PS, to match the general plan. Example two is a portion of an existing driveway located along Warner Avenue. It's just to the east of a previous site that was included in this, which was the pump stations for the city. And the site is currently zoned general commercial with the general plan designation of public. So this amendment would change the designation to public semi-public to be consistent with the general plan. Our third example is the Bolsa substation and some adjacent sites. This example consists of four parcels at the corner of Graham Street and Edinger Avenue. These four sites are currently zoned industrial limited with a general plan designation of public. So this amendment would change the designation to public semi-public to match the general plan. Next we have Edison Towers that are located along Hamilton Avenue. These are adjacent to Edison Park off of Hamilton. The current designation for this parcel is low density residential, and the general plan is public. So the amendment would change the zone from low density residential to public semi-public to match the general plan. Our fifth example are the Edison sites in the Huntington Beach Community Garden that is located along the Santa Ana River Channel. These parcels are just south of Atlanta Avenue, and they are currently zoned residential agriculture with a general plan designation of public. So this amendment would change the zoning designation to public semi-public. And then just south of that site in the previous example are the Edison sites located along the Santa Ana River Trail, which is another substation off of Brookhurst. So this includes four parcels that are also currently zoned residential agriculture with a general plan designation of public. So this amendment would change the zoning designation to public semi-public to match the general plan. Next, we have Edison sites that also consist of the Smith Farms and Moon Valley Nursery. These are also located off of Hamilton, between Hamilton and Bouchard. For reference, the property on the left side is Edison, so it's between the neighborhoods just behind Edison. The current designation is residential agriculture with a general plan of public. So again, this amendment would change the zone of these two parcels to public, semi-public, to match the general plan. And then we have Edison sites along the Santa Ana River Trail. This includes a portion of, or a parcel along the river trail north of Hamilton that is currently zoned general commercial with a general plan designation of public. So the amendment would change the zone to public, semi-public. And then we have more Edison sites and nurseries. These sites are located between Newland and Ward Street, north of Yorktown and south of Garfield. The existing zoning designation for the two parcels on the left is low density residential, and then the three parcels on the right is residential agriculture. The general plan designation for all five parcels is public, and so the amendment would change the designation to public, semi-public. Next, we have more Edison sites that are located along the river trail, including the Ellis substation and Site 1 Landscape Supply Nursery. This includes parcels north of Atlanta up to Garfield. And so all of these parcels are currently zoned low density residential with a general plan of public. And the proposed amendment would change the designation to public, semi-public to match a general plan. Next, we have the Frontier Communications Office. This site is located off of Bolsa Chica Street. It is currently zoned general commercial with a general plan designation of public, semi-public. The amendment would change this site to public, semi-public to match the general plan. Our next example is the railroad parcels that are east of Gothard Street. They run from Ellis Avenue up to Edinger Avenue, and it consists of eight parcels that are currently occupied as railroad. The zoning designation for the parcels are industrial general with a general plan designation of public. And so the proposed amendment would change that zoning designation to public, semi-public. For the next example, this is, as you can see from the image here, it is actually used as drainage, but it does have a walkway located above it. It is within an existing single-family residential neighborhood. The parcel is zoned single-family residential. However, it is classified as drainage and is used as a walkway. So the general plan designation is public, and this amendment would change that walkway to public, semi-public. For our last example, it is another portion of a railroad. It's actually, it's not currently operating as a railroad, but it is located at Springdale Street. The parcel, this is just north of Astronautics Lane, and Springdale runs right between the two parcels. The parcel on the left is zoned industrial limited with a, and then the parcel on the right is zoned single family residential. So the general plan would, or the amendment would change the zone to public semi-public to match a general plan. So with that, staff recommends approval based on the following recommendations: that the zoning map amendment is consistent with the general plan, its goals and policies, that the zoning map amendment is necessary in order to comply with California Government Code Section 65860. The proposed amendments will address any nonconformities and bring the parcels into conformance, and that the request is categorically exempt from the Environmental Quality Act. I do want to note that staff received 49 inquiries regarding tonight's request. We also received a few correspondence that were included in the staff report tonight, and we also received a late correspondence that was also uploaded into the staff report as well. So with that, that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions.
I'm sure there's going to be many. If you guys can maybe help me out, kind of follow along, if you have a specific question about a specific property. I got my maps and everything in front of me. So if, to the extent possible, and that goes for when we have questions from the public, after our comments. Please try, if to the extent possible, if you can tell me which property you're talking about, that'll be very helpful. So with that, who's got questions? Hang on, let's see here. Hold your hand up. I'll start with Commissioner Kennedy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Twining. So I'll say this before every meeting. I read, so there's some correspondence. For some reason, the late correspondence doesn't show up here on this iPad. I had to go back to my phone to see it. There was a full chain on agenda, or the first hyperlink, and a series of emails from a lady with the last name of REBD, I think it was her. Yes, she's in the audience. And, okay, well, I don't want to look at that right now. It'll take me too long. So she, ma'am, would you mind telling me what property that was? Because I didn't write it down.
Zone 6 on her slide presentation.
Okay, can you pull up zone 6, please? So let me give you a summary of what I read first and foremost. But I've said this at every meeting. By virtue of the general plan, you render properties non-conforming just by virtue. Now, I hear you guys cite to, we have to, by state code 65860, we have to bring them into conformity. So I did a little research today, and I'm going to have somebody give me a legal opinion when we're all said and done, because what I read doesn't necessarily govern charter cities. So it does say general law cities, one, but it goes on to say, my source was opr.ca.gov, so probably credible, but you know, we'll leave that up to the legal experts. But down under zoning consistencies, it starts by saying general or counties, general law cities and charter cities with populations of more than 2 million are required to maintain consistency between their zoning ordinance and their adopted general plan. Government code 65860. Charter cities with population under 2 million are not subject to this mandate, but may choose to enact their own code requirements for consistency. And then it goes on to say, where the consistency requirement applies, in other words, if you're above 2 million, which we're far below, it goes on to say every zoning action, such as adoption of new zoning ordinance text amendment, must be consistent. The fact that it says where the consistency requirement applies leads me to believe that it's not mandatory. So what I'm asking, and I don't have the answer right now, but it would be preferable if Mr. Papajohn would know that, because we're not a general law city, we are a charter city, are we held to the law that says we must when this says we don't have to if we're below the 2 million?
Without having a little bit of time to look into this, I don't like to give off-the-cuff legal advice or an opinion. So I can talk to staff about this and we can get back to you. But as of right now, I believe that what staff is doing is consistent with state law, with what's required.
Okay. Because what I would hate to find out is all these votes where you guys continue to tell us it's mandatory to align ourselves with state law under this code that you cite in every agenda. If we are to find out that that's not, it doesn't appeal to, or it doesn't apply to us, that would almost want me to recall all votes, because maybe everybody, when you guys call this a housekeeping item, it kind of minimizes what it is. So this lady had some very valid points that across the way, the residential agriculture, the RA zoning, which will now be changed over to, what is it, CG?
No,
PA. Oh yeah, public, you're right. First off, Southern California Edison, I saw a line list of emails between her and former city manager Oliver Chi talking about violations that Southern California Edison was cited for back in 2019, 2020. And like she said, the RA zoning helps protect her values, because the change to public space offers a whole new use category that maybe if she's a neighbor to it, which it sounds like she is, and probably there are a few people up here are adjacent to that zoning, probably would have a negative effect on your property value. So I've always been firm in saying that this general land use plan that renders properties non-conforming could literally shape the city just by how we want to enact a new general plan, what we render non-conforming, and then coming back and telling everybody we have to do it because of State Code 65860. So I'm really going to be looking for that firm and factual answer on that, because to me it's very relevant for this vote and for all future votes. So I just want that to be on the record. With that said, on item 11, on my deck, this is a small nuance question. The underlying land use stated on there. That was the only one that said that. Why is that?
That's because the general plan is public, semi-public. So the other utility sites that you've noticed are just public. Like, for example, let me see. Like this, like these sites are public. So this one is actually public, semi-public. And so the public, semi-public general plan have underlying designations, similar to when we brought the phase with the schools, mm-hmm. and they all had the underlying.
And for the sake of a few people that are here today mm-hmm. that were affected by that, can you remind us what the underlying zoning means, please? I know, but I'd like to hear it stated again on the record.
Yes, so the underlying designation is the preferred designation should the site ever be redeveloped or proposed to be rezoned. The CG is what's basically the general plan has determined would be preferred there.
Okay. So in other words, if a school were to sell off that parcel that had new zoning and somebody wanted to do something, the underlying zoning would be the preference.
Right. They would still have to go through an entire amendment, a general plan amendment and a zoning map amendment. So it would still have to go before the Planning Commission.
Okay.
That's just there as a preference.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that that can just be built there.
Okay. So I guess really my only concern is also by changing the zoning, you know, 14 out of the 42 properties are currently nurseries. Is that going to have any effect on those nurseries?
No, because they're existing.
Okay, so once they were to vacate, then the overriding zoning would then be the zoning in effect.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So I guess really my concern is the fact that this lady was very diligent in putting her whole chain of emails together, talking about the violations that were cited. And now here we are rewarding them with the zone change that's going to allow them to essentially do things that would be probably negative in effect to their properties, is her opinion, and probably rightfully stated. That would be my conclusion. With that said, Mr. Papajohn, I'd be looking for that vote. I mean, not that vote, that definition at some point, not tonight, but sooner rather than later. And I do want to go on the record saying if it is proven to be an option and not mandatory, to me it becomes problematic. So we'll address that later. Thank you.
Anybody else?
A follow-up question?
So go ahead.
Coming off of Vice Chair Kennedy, the question is about the city's ability to code enforce or bring concerns to SC. Does the by going from the current zoning to what's proposed, does that change the city's ability to enforce or bring issues to SCE? Does it waive their ability? I mean, it's an important question because you want to maintain that the city has a right to still oversee or at least try to do the right. Trying to get SC to do anything is impossible, but anyway, I'm curious, does that change the city's ability to do anything or enforce anything or at least bring action to SCE?
Yes, so the SCE sites are actually protected under a general order through the state, so we are preempted. The general order does not, it basically allows such uses to occur regardless of the local zoning designation of the site, so the RA designation does not provide protection of uses related to the utilities to not take place there. But we are familiar with the occurrence on that site in 2019, and because it was able to get resolved at that time, we believe that we would be able to work with Southern California Edison should that occur again on site. The property owners would be able to reach out to us and we can work with SCE and being good neighbors.
Follow up, are those sites regulated under the industrial general permit? Do you know?
The industrial general permit? Do you, they're under a general, the general order through the state.
Commissioner Pellman.
Yes, my understanding is that you've in the past been working with SCE and it's been positively resolved. Is that what I understand?
It's hard to say because we weren't involved in that at that time. However, the concern that is provided in that correspondence with regards to storage and vehicles operating within at late hours of the night, it appears that the site is currently vacant in that area, so we believe that it was resolved.
I still would like to know the answer to Commissioner Kennedy's question, because that would be problematic for me as a homeowner living in that area, hearing trucks in the middle of the night, you know, having all that movement. That would not be okay, in my opinion. So, thank you.
The chair will recognize himself. I think it's pretty obvious at this point in time that we're probably not going to be voting on this tonight, pending the outcome of our legal counsel's analysis of the 65860. Oh, go ahead.
Actually, I did have a chance to take a look at that government code section 65860. And the last subsection D says that this section shall also apply to a charter city, notwithstanding another section. But as far as the zoning code consistencies with the general plan, it does apply to charter cities. So I'm not, if you'd like me to take a look at what Vice Chair Kennedy provided, I would be happy to, but according to the government code section that staff references, this does apply to charter cities.
If I may, Attorney, that subsection follows after the statement that precedes it saying where that consistency requirement applies. So I showed this to our legal counsel at my office, mm-hmm. and he underlined that statement because it preceded subsection with the reference to section C, and he was not giving me legal advice. He just basically said because it precedes that section that it would override that section because it says where the consistency requirement applies. We do not meet the consistency requirement as a charter city with because we're well below 2 million people. So you can make that statement, but you're going to need to stand by it.
Well, okay. I mean, I'd be more than happy to take a look at what you have, and we can come back with a more I don't know if the response is going to change, but I can definitely take a look at it further if that would make you more comfortable.
Well, it's really not about me. It's about accuracy. If you're right, you're right. Mm-hmm. And if we hold the vote off for one session to find out you're right, thank goodness. If we hold the vote off for one session to find out I was right, it made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you or the chairman. If he made a motion to delay the vote, I would second that.
Okay. I didn't make a motion because right now we have a lot of people that came to speak tonight, and I think we should listen to you. You came down, you took time out of your evening to come down and talk, and I'm inclined to hear what you have to say too, but I think by the time the evening's over, I think we're going to delay the vote on this until we get a firm legal opinion from our legal staff. So if that works with everybody, I'm all for it, and we'd love to hear you speak, if you'd like. All right?
Chair, if I may also add, in the event, after you open the public hearing and receive comments, you may opt to remove certain parcels for consideration as well, as opposed to doing an entire, the entire examples that were presented tonight.
Thank you. I thought of that one, too. All right, so let's end the comments from the commission and take public hearings. Do we have any speakers for this part?
We have multiple speakers signed up. When your name is called, please line up behind both microphones. Please state your name prior to speaking. James DeMarco, Richard Rebd, apologize if I mispronounced that, Lori Rebd, April Paquin, Dee Brundage, Tanya Park.
Okay, James DeMarco, I was here in the March 26th meeting, and I opposed this last time that they were trying to get the public, semi-public approval. It looks like not a lot of neutrality going on here. It's just strange because Mr. Ramos last meeting, and I asked to object to the meeting minutes because I have a one sentence objection and no other comments from anybody else. Mr. Ramos last meeting said it's a state law, you have to change it, and I said, where is that? There's no proof of that. And the reality is they're gonna bypass you guys on so many things. I think Maddie, I'm not clear about what she said, but I think she said that any use change has to go through Planning Commission. Is that right? No? Oh, anyway, I'm sorry. But changing it to public, semi-public has a long list of things that they could become. Cemetery, drug abuse center, a homeless shelter, a maintenance and service facility. Oh, here we go. Since that meeting, this is what they're trying to do at Sowers School. They're trying to put a bus yard in, and we just found out about this month. And I know, I think that vote should be recalled because Mr. Twining, at the end of that meeting, told me, don't worry, Mr. DeMarco, the Planning Commission will make sure nothing gets approved that shouldn't be there in the neighborhood. Okay, well, this bus yard is gonna start about a dozen buses at 6 a.m. They were gonna be 5:45, and now they're being nice saying 6. Well, the trash trucks can't even start at 6 a.m. They have to idle for half an hour, 35 minutes by state law. They have to test their horn. They have diesel fumes, and they do it twice a day, once in the morning at 6 a.m. and once in the afternoon when the kids are gonna be playing on the playground next door and the public park. Now there's no more accessible parking for the public park. You're gonna get sued from somebody who's gonna need a wheelchair access into here. How much more time do I have? Oh, geez. So I just think that the other vote needs to be considered about what happened, because they're trying to take your voice away by saying those uses can happen without your approval, and I just think that's wrong.
Thank you for coming.
Please line up behind both microphones.
Hello, thank you very much for letting us be here. My name is Richard Reeve. I'm talking about the parcel number 6. Matter of fact, this is the first of the videos that I'll be showing. But we are Huntington Beach homeowners asking for the city to ensure that the protections and implications that the residential agriculture designation has protected us for the last 40 years. Until now, the residential agriculture designation has been what we have depended upon to protect our neighborhood and put a stop to many of the abusive land uses that have occurred in the past. These abuses have included paving and covering large areas of land with rock, storing industrial-grade electrical equipment, running a virtual industrial laydown yard, and using the open field as a storage facility, using the open field as a truck parking lot, shining large industrial-grade lights over the area and into our homes, and operating at all hours of the day and night. And did I mention anything about the noise and the dust that they have brought? The fact is, removing this residential agriculture designation without taking steps to protect our community will cause us irreparable damage, diminish our quality of life, and negatively affect our home values. I've got a few pictures. I guess a couple of them already showed. Maybe we.
I've been showing those while you were talking.
Oh, you okay? Great.
Now the video.
If we can, this is my backyard. From my backyard.
Okay, now we're moving the green stuff around.
Large electrical boxes, not sure what for.
Transformers.
This is my backyard. I think this is about 10:30, 11 at night.
Go back to this.
Oh, can we go back? Yeah, let's go back if we could.
43 seconds.
Okay. So, yep, that light was shining in our windows for what, a month and a half, 2 months, as we complained every night, turned on, because all the equipment they put back there, they wanted to have protection against. What was the one thing you wanted me to remind them? Keep in mind, all of this stuff was done without a conditional use permit, without any permit. And it was only as we encountered these problems, my wife and I started to deal with the city, exchange emails. Oliver G helped us out at some point. But the fact is, the problem started in July of 2019 and took nearly 2 years to have all of this stuff removed. So we lived with this for 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I think the first point that I'd like to make is we received this notice of the project description saying that it's simply a housekeeping item. I would say that this is anything but a housekeeping item. That is meant to discourage people from coming out. They think it's just a dot of I and a cross of T, and that is just absolutely positively not the case. It says here that it will not change the zoning on my property. What it should be saying is, but it will change the zoning on the property directly adjacent to yours. So I think that the Planning Commission needs to think about sending those notices out again and perhaps properly representing what's really going on. I didn't intend to say this first, but after this conversation, something was said that there's a general order through the state that the utility company can do what they want on that property. I think the devil's in the details and everything that goes on in this commission, and it probably says that they can transmit their lines. They just can't take any old property and turn it into a lay-down yard and run operations 24/7. So I think that it's intended to mean that they can have a substation or transmission lines. The other thing is, we've received assurances from the city in talking to the planning office and Maddie's office, and she's been great, really, you know, forthcoming with all the information, saying that nothing is going to change. All of those nurseries can still remain in place, but the only reason the nurseries are there is because of the residential agriculture designation that I provided. As soon as that's gone, there's absolutely nothing in the current code of the section, you know, that Jim DeMarco was just going through that allows to even have wholesale nurseries. So I don't know what's leading anybody to think that things are going to remain the same, because there's nothing even allowing the nurseries to stay there. Edison or whoever owns those properties tomorrow could come in and say, sorry, we decided to do something else, and now it's public, semi-public land that's going to be used for whatever they want. And it's really difficult for small mom-and-pop homeowners or local residents to go up against somebody like Southern California Edison and try to even get somebody in the city interested. 2015 they did it, 2017, 2019, so it's like every 2 years we're dealing with something, and they just sort of do what they want. So I would ask that the city puts in some sort of protection
that with that public, semi-public designation, that we are protected, number one, and number two, why are we aligning the zoning with the general plan? Why don't we go back and make the general plan representative of what the city says they're going to allow to continue to stay there? Because they said the nurseries will stay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm April Paquin. I'm just here to back up Richard and Lori. I live next door to them. During the period when the property was used improperly, we were fairly disrupted by the activities that went on back there. Along with the security cameras and the generators and the bright lights, the best part was, I would say a couple times a week whenever a coyote happened to pass through that property, loud sirens, warning, warning, you are on private property. And this would happen in the middle of the night. So, there must be a coyote out there. So that was very disruptive also, although it was a little bit amusing. Anyway, I feel by changing this, it could have serious repercussions, as they've said, especially on our quality of life and possibly even our property values if all that moves in right back behind us. And so I guess perhaps what we're asking for or what we're hoping for is we have to specifically restrict these types of uses going forward, maybe just like has mentioned, maybe that parcel because it is so close to where the residents are. Or we need to describe the types of activities that are and are not approved on that property. And hopefully that will help us with any future conflicts, which we are hoping will not happen, but we are anticipating them to happen. Thank you.
Thank you for speaking.
My name is Dee Brundage, and I back up to this particular piece of property. Been in my home since 1970. So I've been there almost 54 years. So this has been quite an ordeal as far as my property value. This is where I am scared to death. I feel like this is something that the Zoning Commission must take into consideration, please. And I am in total agreement with my fellow neighbors of all the issues that they've brought up. So thank you.
Can the following please come down? Again, Tanya Park, Karen Stewart, Clark Stevens, Kathy Stevens, Renee Doughty, I probably mispronounced that, I apologize, and John Gaslington.
Hi, I'm Clark Stevens. I live on Roan Lane. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that issue that's going on Roan Lane. And so when we got this, that, I'm sorry, our trust and what's going on behind us with that railroad easement and the Orange County sanitation easement, our trust in what's going on around us is pretty zero. We need more information. I do. I think it's fair. Unfortunately, does this include the Orange County sanitation easement on the backside of those properties between the railroad and Roan Lane? Anybody have the answer to that?
No.
That would be good to make public. I know there's 27 homeowners on there that are very anxious about what's going on there, and we're one of them. So I'll just stop. We don't have enough information on what's going on.
We will find that. We'll get the answer to that question.
I would appreciate it very much.
Okay.
I'm the other side of him, and we are very concerned with OC Sand. We had to sign the paperwork so we wouldn't go to court because we're retired. Mm. We don't have the money to sue them.
Name, please.
They're taking our land, and
your name?
My name is Kathy Stevens. Taking our land, we don't get to use it anymore. They're putting a block wall, then 30 feet railroad track, then businesses behind that. We are going to have traffic. You're talking about making it public, semi-public. We're already going to have homeless sitting in our backyards because of this whole area being opened to 30 feet of, if it's sand, whatever they're going to put behind that six to eight foot wall. We don't know what they're putting back there. We just know that we don't have control over our land anymore. They already had 11 feet, 12 feet, now they want the rest. So we have no clue what, I mean, they talked about, what, 12, 15 years ago, going from Disneyland down to the beach with on the railroad track there, public transportation. We'd be against that because it's right behind our homes. So we don't know where this is going. There's not enough in this paperwork to let us know what they plan to do with that land. We don't need more chaos going behind our house. So, I mean, we've been burglarized 3 times since we've been there. Now, we have good neighbors now on both sides, and I think neighbors might have been included in it before. So we've been good for another probably 12, 15 years now. But still, we do not need all that traffic going behind our house from Edinger to Warner. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for coming.
Tanya Park, this refers to example 14. Let me know if this is appropriate. I photoshopped what it could look like. I could submit it. A long, narrow park that has directional, it's a former railroad track. It could be a long directional, a park with long directional bike paths going one way, going the other, a meandering bike path, a walk path with trees, benches, and trash cans for dog poo. And other than that, I'd like to say we like all the nurseries here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Hello, my name is Renee Dottie. I live at 16691 Round Lane. This is the biggest instance of gross negligence I've ever seen in a city. You are the second biggest city in Orange County. Your city attorney doesn't know the law when it comes to a zoning thing. That's a very big concern to me. You have a zoning law that you're saying is gonna align with your general plan. There is a company, which is a semi-public company, that you are trying to rezone as a semi-public service company, which has an alleged easement since 1960. In 1960, they may have gotten easement that allowed access, not to take half of my backyard, when my house is valued at $1.3 million. And I want to cite, since your council isn't bringing this up to you, that the scope of an easement is determined, and this is due to Thornstrom and Thornstrom versus California Civil Code 806, does not grant possession by merely there being an easement. And it's not abandoned by nearly not using it, but it is abandoned when I build a swimming pool and I invest millions of dollars in my backyard. I was actually on the news as one of those pools that was going to be highly affected. You're talking about you are going to take about $250,000 of value from me for an easement that started in 1960 and you have to now rezone in 2024? How would you react? Is this public service is not a public company? You all know that's also privately held. So if this city council is going to sit here and protect something that's not a true easement, it's an access. And the railroad, all this is confusing. You all know it's confusing. We don't know what's going on. You know why? Because nobody planned for it. The Planning Commission should have known. Everybody should have known. For some reason, it seems appropriate for you to come in and take what myself and everybody else on that street has worked for. You would not tolerate it. You know you wouldn't. And I bet you your constituents would say, hey, can't you do something else other than dig their whole yard out? I have a fountain, a pool. Everything's magnificent. And now you're going to take that away from me. All that money I invested, that's what the voters are going to know about this city council because you guys are negligent. It has been in the books since 1960. And this guy can't recite whether state law or local laws is controlling. I'm going to tell you something. You better get a better attorney. And that's mean to say to him, but it isn't. Because what are we here for today? What did you guys expect? You expected irate people like me to come up here and say, please don't steal $250,000 from me. Please don't degrade my legacy that I have in that home. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Does the Planning Commission have something similar to the blue card that the city council hands out if we want to contact somebody?
We do not, but we can take Renee's phone number.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Can you give your name to one of the staff so we can contact you?
Yes.
And also, we are the Planning Commission. We're at the City Council, but we're going to help. We're going to try.
Thank you. My name is Renee. Last name is spelled Dautchy. By the way, you said it right. Thank you very much. D-A-U-G-H-E-T-E-E. I'm sure they'll have it for the
record. We have your phone number. We have your phone number on the speaker form.
Thank you. And I'm also an attorney as well, although I'm not knowledgeable on these things, but I've made myself knowledgeable. So if you will listen, we need to be heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Deep breath. I'm Karen Stewart. I live in the Sol Vista neighborhood too, which is adjacent to Roan, which is where the railroad easement is. I was just thinking when she was talking about title companies, when you purchase your property, doesn't the title company specifically state the easement? I am grateful to Commissioner Kennedy for checking out that legal aspect, if that seems reasonable, that if we're under 2 million population, that we wouldn't be affected by that, because if that is correct, I could see a lot of lawsuits happening to the city, and that would be quite detrimental. I was handed a paper about conditional use permits. The establishment, maintenance, and operation of the use will not be detrimental to the general welfare of persons working or residing in the vicinity, nor detrimental to the value of the property and improvements of the neighborhood. And since I'm not directly affected, my concern is just the value of the whole neighborhood. And I have another one coming up, the Sol Vista Elementary School. In the future, I don't know what that is planned. I have called, and nobody knows the answer to that one either. But that's down the road. So I am also commending the lady who mentioned that the information that we received in the mail sounded like gaslighting. Sorry, it really needed to be a little bit more specific and thorough, because I agree that they just thought maybe we don't know and we'll just pass on it. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Hi, my name's John Garlington. Thanks for having this hearing. I've never been to one of these before, not politically active at all. These people must be my neighbors because I'm seeing the same thing they're seeing. I want to specifically call out Mr. Kennedy. Thank you for what you do. I'm on the third what that woman just said. This sounds like nothing. I came here thinking this sounds like nothing, and I don't believe it, and it's in my backyard, and I'm coming down here to see if this is nothing. This is not nothing. If, in fact, the gentleman has said we could have the use redone and actually have, you know, like halfway houses for drug addicts or whatever. I don't know. Been through that in a neighborhood in Huntington Beach once before. Don't want to go there again. And I had more questions than comments, unfortunately. And I'm not nearly as prepared as many of these people are, so I apologize for that. But, you know, my question is, does it change how, for example, the place is policed? There's a Santa Ana riverbed behind us, and I don't remember if it's the county police or the city police who come out and take the homeless people out of there occasionally. There's a lot of fireworks. There's a lot of things that go on there. There's some crazy people who come up there and are, frankly, dangerous. And the thought that we could take an agricultural use with a nursery and turn it into something that might lead to more people or people who have greater rights because we've changed the zoning to be there all hours of the evening or I don't even know what is very concerning to me. And, you know, it's a lot of safety. And I want to also second what one of these lovely ladies said. Why conform, there may be a reason, but why conform what we have now to the general plan? Why not conform the general plan to what we have now? Because I hear you saying, for example, agricultural use, no problem. They're good there until they leave. Well, once they leave, game over, what happens? You know, now maybe it becomes, you know, homeless housing. I don't know what it becomes. but it could become something a lot worse than agricultural, you know, nurseries and things of that nature. And I'm also wondering if any of this changes our access to the Santa Ana Riverbed, the trail, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like we need more information than this, and I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'm hoping we can get some more information. And thank you, Chairman, for pushing back on the vote, and I hopefully look forward to being here and part of that. Thank you.
Great. I believe that's the end of the public comments. We'll now at this point in time open up comments for the commissioners. So if you'd like to speak, let me know by raising the hand, because my computer in front of me is just not working right now. Mm-hmm. So, well, there it is. Commissioner Pellman.
Thank you. I have about four questions that I'd like to ask of staff and maybe legal. What was the process that SCE had access to the parcels in the first place? I mean, how did they say, I'm using this process? Let me read all my questions, because it's probably one big answer. And how long has it been used by SCE? And who owns that property? And is it the whole property, or just where the tension lines are, and then they have all the other property? Okay, so that's my four questions.
SCE owns all those properties that we've identified, and what was the first question? How did they access it?
Did they buy the property, or were they gifted the property? Or
we don't know that.
You don't know that. Okay. Well, yeah. And was it all the property? I mean, did it start out just where the high tension lines were?
The one on Brookhurst, all the properties shown on the exhibit are owned by Edison, right?
Correct. It's where the utility lines run.
Okay. And how long has it been used for that? Like,
it's hard to say. It's we don't have specific records indicating when they established there, but they're used as utilities. So,
okay, thank you,
Commissioner Adams.
Similar line of questioning. So you mentioned earlier, Maddie, that the city doesn't have a lot of sway or oversight on SCE properties. Does the zoning, underlying zoning, or any related zoning have anything to do with what they can and can't do to
No.
the property? So you could zone it for anything. The city could zone it for anything they want, but Edison controls everything that they can do without any city oversight?
I believe if it's owned and operated as a utility through Edison, then they are protected from local zoning.
The only thing I would add is that is correct. They are preempted from zoning, meaning we cannot require any discretionary action, but they are required to obtain any ministerial permits. So if they're building, let's say, a block wall and that needs a building permit, they are required to go through the city to get that permit. But if we tell them that that wall, because it's tall or it doesn't meet code, that it needs a CUP, they're going to say, no, you can't require a CUP. You just can require a building permit. But the code doesn't matter, is what they're going to tell us and what they've told us.
Okay. And again, I respect the members who have spoken today. That's why I'm genuinely asking. I'm not saying this doesn't matter. I am trying to just understand that effectively the agency will tell you it doesn't matter what you zone it for, what you tell us, you have, it doesn't matter to us. Is that, I'm not... It's generally what they're saying.
Correct. Yeah, we have an experience at another substation where they recently proposed a cell tower for use by Edison, and we told them that the cell tower needs a CUP, and we had multiple meetings with them, including their attorneys, and the conclusion is that they don't have to follow our code.
Okay. Thank you. They have a lot of power.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Kennedy.
Thank you, Chairman. On that note, two things. Thank you, Commissioner Adams, over that. Although we may not have sway over or the public utility, but the zoning is important because what may happen is one nursery does go out, and with the zoning change, that would preclude another nursery from now going in. So there is some balance to that zoning, no matter how careless Southern California Edison can be. if there was not a zone change and it stayed as RA, SoCal Edison can still be SoCal Edison. But if Moon Nurseries goes out and, you know, a new nursery wants to come in, the zoning would allow that. So there is that to be considered. And really what I wanted to say in closing, as the building department knows, I've never been a fan of your noticing, and it was because of my recommendation that you stepped it up a little bit with a certified letter to the property owner. But as I've told you before, when you sent me a letter at my request, it is a meaningless letter. As these residents have told you, this is not a housekeeping item, number one, and hope to find that out. But secondly, if you were saying things like, Your zoning won't change, but you may have a material effect to your property and its value, this chamber would be full on every vote. Because when it comes to people's property values, you don't want to mess with that. And people don't show up because it's a housekeeping item, no big deal, because there's nothing telling them that there could be real adverse effects to their property values. That may not change the vote, because sometimes it may have to pass, but you would allow the public their voice in their moments so that they don't find out after the fact. And if the letters were written in real firm, bold lettering, red ink, things that are really important, kind of what they do in a legal draft, where they bold it, bigger font, they maybe use red to show that this is something that really needs to be read, you would see a way bigger turnout. And the thing that's a problem with local government is we're busy as residents, and small items just fly under the radar. We're trying to raise our families, pay our property taxes, live in our city. So we don't show up for things like this because we don't think it matters. So I would strongly ask you to take into consideration really formatting your letters to really notify those in receipt that maybe you should read this. And if it resonates with you, maybe you should attend and let your voice be heard. That's the American way. And that's my recommendation. You took it from home plate to first base. You really need to change it more so. These people are not wrong. They need to be respected. And in doing this, all future notices to other residents that have not yet received a notification will be grateful. Thank you.
Commissioner Wood.
Thank you. My only question is, do either of you happen to know when the general plan amendment, when the last one took place, what the reasoning was behind changing these to public, semi-public?
It's to reflect the fact that it's a utility use.
And you don't recall why they thought there needed to be a change at that time?
Well, we do have the general plan, a general plan map dating from 1996 that calls out these parcels as public designation. So that, it's been that.
That
it's
land use was prior to the last general plan update, basically.
Right, so it hasn't changed since at least 1996.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Galvan.
Thank you. Does SE, they lease to the nurseries?
Correct, yeah.
And that's at their will, they just could decide to not continue that lease, right?
I would assume so. I think that, yeah. About, yeah, have to be between them.
Okay. And then what's the general plan process like? I imagine it's a fairly extensive thing that has a lot of public hearings.
To amend the general plan?
Our previous amendment, how long was that process, the update?
Yeah, that process, the general plan update, took multiple years, and there was quite a bit of public outreach done.
Okay. And last question. So our zoning in for California law and California planning, that's subservient to the general plan, correct? It doesn't matter what our zoning says. If the general plan says something else, that's actually what matters?
Correct. The general plan supersedes the zoning. Zoning has to be consistent with general plan.
Right. Thank you.
Do you have more? Oh, you do?
I have one. That last statement's yet to be substantiated formally.
Correct.
Number
pending
one.
The legal opinion, yes.
Yeah. And secondly, if I may just ask, What was the participation with all along the way with all those public hearings? Let me just guess. I bet it was negligible. If we could watch back on the videos, you guys weren't here. I would imagine during all those hearings, nobody was here. You know why? They didn't know the effects. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. Commissioner Galvan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I imagine it was probably a lot of people given how engaged people were with the housing element process. The general plan is a very, it's our future plans for the city, so it's a similar engagement process. We saw a lot of outreach for that.
Thank you. Anybody else? Show of hand. All right. I guess there's no more speakers. I'll recognize myself. I'll go back to what I said a few minutes ago, and I speak for myself, but I think I also speak for my colleagues up here. This is going to take, especially tonight, and really it dates back to some other cleanups that we may have done, that we did because we kind of, there was no public comment. It didn't seem like it affected anybody. We looked at it thinking that we were just cleaning up too, but apparently, and Commissioner Kennedy has questioned this before too, and as I have, and I don't feel that we're ready at this point in time to take, let's see, what's our number here? Oh, hang on a minute. I'm looking at the wrong piece of paper here. It is 24-361. I don't believe we're going to be able to vote on that thing tonight. I think we need more input from our city attorney. We want to talk to, have a little bit more input from the public. And so I'm going to make a motion to table item 24-361 at this time, and we'll come back and revisit it at another time.
I'll second.
So I'd be continuing to a date uncertain, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, a yes vote would be to continue the item. Okay, we have five ayes with Commissioner Acosta Galvan voting nay, and Commissioner Rodriguez is absent. Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on here. Stand by. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar, and there are two sets of minutes.
Chair?
Yes.
We have another zoning map amendment on the agenda. Ooh. Zoning map amendment 24-4.
Oh,
commercial.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, is there a staff report on that?
Yes, Madeline Welch will give the presentation again.
Thank you. So to begin, this staff has identified five commercially developed sites which have a zoning designation that are inconsistent with the general plan. So with that, the request tonight is to amend the current zoning designation of such parcels to bring them into conformance with their general plan designation. The general plan is a comprehensive blueprint that provides the framework for the utilization and management of the city's physical and economic resources and guides decisions regarding land use for the city through the year 2040. State law requires every city to adopt a general plan and requires the zoning ordinance to be consistent with it. The zoning map and ordinance are tools used to implement the general plan land use element. This amendment is prompted as a housekeeping item to clean up the zoning map to bring those parcels into conformance with their general plan and to eliminate any nonconformities. The amendment would change the zoning of the parcels in tonight's request to general commercial, which would correspond with their existing general plan designation of general commercial. The amended designations will correspond to the existing uses on site, and 1,483 notices were sent out to properties within 500 feet of each subject site. Notices were sent via certified mail to the property owners of each subject site, and staff did not receive any correspondence with a request to opt out. Here is an existing zoning map outlining the parcels that are included in tonight's request. And this is the amended zoning map. So starting with the first example, this is medical office buildings, consisting of three parcels. It's two medical office buildings and a parking lot off of Warner Avenue. The existing zoning designation is commercial office with the general plan designation of general commercial. So this amendment would change the parcel designation to general commercial to be consistent with the general plan. The second example we have is a medical office building here located off of Talbert Avenue and Beach Boulevard. The existing zoning for this parcel is commercial office with a general plan of general commercial. So the amendment would change the zoning designation to general commercial. Our third example is the Huntington Beach Community Church. The site is located off of Slater Avenue, east of Beach Boulevard. I do want to point out that this site was built and permitted as a commercial site for offices. The church is occupying it now. I just want to clarify that because we did bring churches at a previous amendment. So the designation is currently commercial office with a general plan of general commercial. And the amendment would change the parcel's zoning designation to general commercial to match the general plan. And that concludes this presentation with staff recommending approval based on the following: that the zoning map amendment is consistent with the general plan goals and policies, that the zoning map amendment is necessary to comply with California Government Code Section 65860C, that the proposed amendments will address any nonconformities and bring parcels into compliance with the general plan, and that the request is categorically exempt from California Environmental Quality Act. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for any questions.
Chair, we need to do disclosures as well.
Okay, Commissioner Adams.
No disclosures, thank you.
No disclosures.
I spoke with staff about this in a meeting last week briefly.
I have no disclosures.
No disclosures.
Okay. Chair recognizes himself. Notwithstanding our objections and our vote on the last item, is this just a result of different zoning designations between the general plan of 2017 and the zoning now, where there is no such thing anymore as commercial general? Now it's just general commercial. It went from a CG to a GC, and it has the same meaning.
So general commercial, we have a zoning for and a general plan designation for general commercial. We also have commercial office as well. So they both do exist currently. Is that?
I couldn't. Okay, go. Anybody have any questions up here? Commissioner Adams?
Yeah, thank you. I have a question. So it's commercial office in the zoning. It's commercial general in real life. It's actually a commercial building. And the general plan is commercial, general commercial, right? If a developer came in and bought a commercial office under the current zoning, but the general plan is general commercial, and they wanted to redevelop it to be commercial office, it would be inconsistent with the general plan, correct?
Correct.
It would be consistent with the zoning, it would be inconsistent with the general plan. What would be the process for that developer to move forward with a commercial office development? What would be would there be any constraints to it?
So office is permitted in both zoning designations. Medical and professional office is permitted in both.
I need to take a different example then. what I'm asking, I won't get into detail. If it's zoned for one thing and it's got a general plan designation for another, and we've heard from comments, and I think it's an important comment that the gentleman made, our first speaker made twice now, this meeting and prior meeting, about when the zoning potentially brings along uses that as a homeowner you might not like. But the general plan already allows those things to happen, theoretically, and has since 2017, correct? So let's just make that scenario. Somebody comes in and says, I'm going to take down this property, and I'm going to build to the general plan and allow the uses that maybe that people are concerned about. The first thing that would come to a planning is the planning department would say, well, the general plan allows that, but the zoning doesn't. So what would the applicant need to do to fulfill fulfill what they really want to build in the general plan? Is there an obstacle in the way or not?
So it would most likely be a zoning map amendment to be consistent with the general plan. So
what is that, and what is that process?
What we're doing tonight, the existing.
I understand that from a large scale, but if we don't do it here, could somebody still go through it individually for their particular parcel?
Yes.
And could it be? Is it an automatic approval? Is it a discretionary approval? Is there a public process? Could people in the audience who are here tonight come speak out against that if that were to happen?
Yes, and it would go to the Planning Commission and then the City Council.
Okay.
It would be a big expense.
It would be a big expense for the applicant, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. All right, I just need to understand that, so thank you.
Good question, Commissioner Adams. But to caveat on that, if the zoning and the general land use were succinct, it'd fly right through.
It depends on the type of use that's
right. If it's conforming with the general, the general land use and the zoning were in sync, then the use, if it was part of what was allowed in that zoning, would not have the same headaches. So I think what he was trying to articulate was, for example, this gentleman that brought it before us twice is more protected when there's difference between zoning and general land use, because the process to now get that rehab using that built on a zone that doesn't it's not allowed in the zoning but allowed in the general land use is a lot more cumbersome because there's not succinctness between the zoning and the general land use. Is that correct, Mr. Adam? Commissioner, is that what you're trying to articulate?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And I think there's a cost, right? Is it
a zoning map amendment?
$42,000.
A lot of money. I don't know what it is off the top of my
plus,
head.
Plus, well, I know consultants that do this for a living. They would add another $40,000 onto that. So, okay, so it's a significant cost. And it's not 100% guaranteed, correct?
Well, I'm confused just a little bit there. I'm not sure if I'm hearing that we should leave this one the way it is too for the time being until we get an understanding of what the California state law, the number was 65860. I just don't know what the form is here for this, because we're changing from office building to general commercial. So I might ask my counterparts up here to make a motion.
Yeah. Chair 20. Yeah, I mean, I do see this one as, I see these two as completely different than the first set of 42 and the second set of 5. I don't see the same levels of concern personally, being that they're both the uses that are there would actually work under both land uses. So I can move forward on this.
Is that a motion?
Are we still under deliberation?
We have no one signed up, Chair, for public hearing.
Okay.
We should probably ask that question just in case.
Okay, is there anybody that would like to speak to this? Oh, we do have one. Thank you. Same time limits, 3 minutes.
Thank you. I don't mean to be insulting to anybody here. I understand this job is a complex one, but I am alarmed that there aren't answers already in your knowledge. I have somebody saying that this general plan has been enacted in 1996. I have people saying they've tried to do some sort of sync it up in 2017. I believe that you all are confused as I am. And that's alarming because you are the people we look to and we want to be able to design this most beautiful city. Huntington Beach is magnificent, but we all have to recognize there are problems with the planning here. There are too many commercial entities interacting with residential positions. There are too many elements of crime that are being allowed to happen because of this converse landscape here. I'm not asking you to turn into Irvine. We don't want that. What we want, though, is to be able to trust that the Planning Commission knows what's going on. Why don't you know how the general plan works? Why don't you know what the difference between a professional office space is and a general commercial space is? I don't know because I'm not sitting where you are. I believe all of you are being forced now to know what you should know, and I do believe you're all intelligent to know that, and I can trust you. I am glad that I am here today, as long with these few citizens, that I think that if this was televised, I don't know if it is, or if anybody had any inkling, which Mr. Kennedy and some of the others have pronounced to this committee and the people here, is that if they knew what was going on here, they would show up. And I commend you all for listening to us tonight. I really do. And I really do trust you. And I really hope that I employ that you guys take your knowledge and your power. You're not here for a meaningless purpose. You're here to protect our land. This is valuable land. This is on the edge of the United States. This is the most beautiful part of the country, if you ask me. I really want you guys to listen to us tonight and help us make our community better, more productive, more safe. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there any more speakers?
Looks like James DeMarco would like to be called.
Yeah, I'll be quick because I know some of you are probably tired of hearing from me. Sorry. The last meeting in March, I got a sense of confusion about really what people were voting on, and I'm getting that right now again. So unless you really understand what you're voting on and the ramifications, the effects of it, it might sound harmless, like you said, but until you get a legal opinion about really what it does, I think that both of these should be saved for later until you get a legal opinion about what is the right thing to do. That's all.
Thank you. Let me just clarify when I said I was confused. Really, that's probably the wrong words to use. I just want to be consistent up here. And if we reject one set of cleanups, which you are all here for tonight, and it very much makes sense what you brought up, The second one, which is 24362, which was commercial sites, which is a much less serious change, say, to the zoning. I'm inclined to make a motion to pass that because it's a much simpler thing. It's a commercial, commercial office versus commercial building or general commercial. So that was my confusion. It was born out of wanting to be consistent up here tonight, but they're completely two different animals between what you guys are here for tonight and what's on our agenda for tonight. So I will take a motion from somebody if they would like to.
Chair Twining?
Yes.
Just, if I may, I've had a chance to look at the legislative history of Government Code Section 65860. And Vice Chair Kennedy, the language that you mentioned about the 2 million, the population of 2 million, that language was removed back in 2018. So the current statute, the current law as it stands today, since 2018, says that this section applies to charter cities, period. So it doesn't matter what the population is, the zoning has to be consistent with the general plan. And that is it. That's the law. So that's my position. I'm sorry I was unclear earlier. I was just thrown by the language because I knew at some point it was in the code, but it currently is not, and it hasn't been for a few years. So hopefully that provides some clarification. You still have the right to vote however you'd like tonight, but going forward, hopefully that gives you a little bit more certainty that this process does have to be followed.
Commissioner Pellman.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the process that this commission back in has been basically dealing with. Back in, I believe it was October of 2023, as chair of the Planning Commission, 141 or 42 parcels came before this commission. And the commission basically said, whoa, we directed staff at that time to basically come back in chunks so that we can basically understand what it is they're asking us to do. Some of these parcels that are being cleaned up have been this way since the 80s. For example, Bartlett Park. And so it's quite cumbersome to go through 141 parcels and basically, and that's why we asked for staff to come back and come back in chunks that make sense instead of 141 in one night. So I just wanted that clarification that we're not rushing through this. If anything, we have basically tried to be thorough. And I appreciate all the comments that everybody has said. I'm a homeowner too. I'm a resident in Huntington Beach since the 1960s. And I appreciate all of your comments. And that's all I have to say at this point. Thank you.
We are going to leave the vote on, was it 61, the way we voted, and you know, so that we can explore that further and get back to the residents. And then I want to make a motion to approve 24362 for the commercial sites. So I make a motion to do that.
I'll second.
We have 5 ayes. Commissioner Kennedy voting no. Commissioner Rodriguez is absent. Motion carries.
Next on the agenda is 24407, approved Planning Commission minutes dated March 26, 24. We have a motion for that.
A motion.
I'll second.
Sorry, the computer's being very slow today. We have 6 ayes. Commissioner Rodriguez is absent. Motion carries.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is 24-408, approved Planning Commission meeting minutes dated April 23rd, 2024.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
I'll be abstaining because I wasn't here, so for clarification.
Okay. We have five ayes. Commissioner Rodriguez is absent. Commissioner Pellman is abstaining. Motion carries.
All right. Do we have any non-public hearing items?
We do not.
Any planning items?
We do not.
We do not.
Any planning commission items?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay. So, as the liaison to the Historic Resource Board, I would, although the meeting was canceled due to lack of a quorum, I basically told the resource board members that were there that I would basically express information about the stuff that they had handed out. First item, Central Park 50th anniversary recognition event is June 15th at the Senior Center. After the afternoon reception is from 1 to 3 p.m. Light eats and refreshments. Kathy Mays and Park Bench will provide some samples, and there'll be presentations on the stage. And the 75th Celebration of Parks and Recreation Department and the CLS Commission. And that concludes my comments.
All right. If that's the final items, and this meeting is adjourned.